The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
And here he is too, Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com with the Outdoor Report. Greg, how the heck are you doing this Friday morning? Always good to have you back. What's going on?
I'm going to put it as I'm doing as good as the weather looks right outside my front window right now. There is absolutely no hint of smoke anywhere in the air. I've got a very clear, totally unobstructed view all the way to Grizzly, so it's great.
All right, glad to hear that. So what are we looking at? Kind of a split weekend, really, is what we're looking at. And then do we have some more bumping and thumping with some rain showers possibility? Or where are we headed? What do you say?
Well, yeah, and here's how it's going to go. We got beautiful today. We've got good tomorrow. I mean, there's going to start to be some clouds appearing in the sky, mm-hmm. especially later in the day. But if you're going out to, say, Brewfest and you're going to the concert in the amphitheater, I don't think you've really got a whole lot of fear for rain. The rain is going to hold off till Sunday. The question is, when on Sunday does it arrive? Right now, what I see from NWS, National Weather Service, they're pretty much looking at middle point. Point of the day, and I suspect it may be later than that. I mean, we'll see how this all plays out. I am sure that by Sunday evening, though, we're going to be seeing rain here in the area. Maybe not necessarily in Medford, but, you know, Grants Pass, other areas. Yeah, probably raining. And then for sure, overnight Sunday into Monday, we get a break Monday. I'm going to say Monday night, Tuesday morning. And then a second, much stronger system is going to come in. That one is probably going to give us about as much rain as we have seen out of the last system that moved through and the one that's going to come through on Sunday, Monday combined. So as I look at the rainfall projections into next week, especially by the time we reach Thursday next week, I'm looking at widespread, very wetting rain all across Oregon, except for the rain shadow right directly east of the Cascades in north central Oregon, but pretty much everywhere else for September, real good rain. And from the Cascades west, actually, what we're seeing for projection right now, this would be good rainfall even, say, December, January time frame.
Now, this would actually be pretty good news for helping put out the fires that are remaining, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful news. And that rain shadow I'm talking about, north central Oregon up through the Columbia, that is the only spot in the Pacific Northwest and the Northern Rockies that does not look like we'll see substantial rainfall through next Thursday. So when I look at the areas where we're having the biggest fire impacts here locally, take Southern California out of it. But Oregon, Northern Rockies, yeah, we're going to get real good rain on all of these fires, which should pretty much knock everything out except the smoldering in the deepest pockets of fuel. And what they're definitely going to do, they're going to secure depth on the immediate fire line, and then the stuff way back in the interior, they're just going to let it do whatever it's going to do until the big time rain and snow of winter comes. But I'm thinking by this time next week, we should have our fire situation in Oregon and the Northern Rockies well in hand.
That's great news. Glad to hear that. Greg Roberts, once again, RogueWeather.com, where you keep up on the fire and the weather and the hunting and all the various other things. Where would you go this weekend if you didn't want to head over to Brewfest, or you're going to go to the Rat Rod show up in Rat Rod Ruckus in Joe County and various other things? There's also bowling for vets tomorrow at Lava Lanes. Yep. I know that's at 12.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things happening, and you're asking me, Mr. Outdoors, what would I be doing?
Yeah.
Well, of course, the outdoors.
of course.
So right now, I mean, the coastal fishing is still red hot. I would be looking to get over to the coast, but understanding that really my window of opportunity at the coast is today and tomorrow, because when we hit Sunday, that storm coming in is definitely going to be churning up some big, ocean swells. So it's going to turn rough on Sunday. But if you can get over there and get out this evening and then tomorrow morning, should have nothing but excellent fishing conditions. So I would definitely be doing that. The second choice, you know, right now, we're going to have some really nice temps for just getting out and hiking around. And I would definitely be going out and doing some hiking. And if you're going to be hunting the upcoming rifle, deer, and elk seasons, this is a perfect weekend to get out and do some scouting. And especially on Sunday with the cloud cover coming in, the potential for rain, especially over higher terrain like the Cascades and Siskiyous, this would be a real good time to be getting out, taking a walk, basically executing your hunting plan, and take a look, because with that cloud cover on Sunday, you will definitely have more activity during daylight hours with the deer and the elk.
All right, and 726, Mr. Outdoors here, rogueweather.com. Hey, Greg, before we take off from the report this week, we had to honor a few memories here of our late colleague Ron Boutwell, known as Ron Matthews on the air. He was my morning partner at KBOY. I want to say, I think it was 92, because I got there in 91 when I came down from Seattle, and I think it was like 92 to about 97, 98, somewhere in there. And then I came over to KZZE, which is oddly enough now KMED, where I am. So I'm still, I was on 106.3 then, I'm on 106.3 now. It's interesting, all right? But he passed away on the 5th. I saw a obituary for that, and he was 82 years old. But what a life, because he spent a lot of his earlier time essentially merchandising for what are now classic rock bands. Back when they were not classics, they were news. Yeah. He's out on the road with Kiss. He's gone out there with the Grateful Dead. He's out there with all sorts of big bands over the years, and T-shirts and merchandising, and being involved in a pretty wild lifestyle of that era. And it was just really something.
Yeah, and you know, it was kind of amazing. And by the way, the merchandising was something he was still doing when I was working with him at KBOY, because he would have to take time off, get somebody to cover his shifts on Thursdays and Fridays, because he would be gone somewhere selling merchandise. I vividly remember he was going and working the Sisters Rodeo while he was working at KBOY. He never got out of doing that. He did that to some level because he was so good at it, had so much experience. But I've got four memories of Ron that I really want to share, because even if you don't know who Ron is, you're going to find these stories amazing. And we've touched on one of them repeatedly here, and that is, I forget which Kiss tour it was, but Kiss was the highest profile band that he worked with.
Yes.
I mean, without any question, especially in the merchandising sense. So they're having this meeting, and Gene and Paul are sitting there, because Gene and Paul knew every detail of everything happening with that band, and nothing happened without their approval.
And they were incredible and by the way, incredible business people, incredible business minds, both of them. Okay.
So they're meeting with Ron. Ron's running down this whole list of things. He goes, we've got dolls, we've got this, we've got that. And I'm running down, and he said, it seriously took me about an hour. So when I get done, Gene looks at me and says, is there anything else? And Ron goes, yeah, well, there was this one thing. I don't know. It just was so stupid, I told him no. And Gene says, what was it? And he goes, this company approached us and wanted to do a Kiss condom. And I'm like, get out of here. He said, Gene came right up out of his chair, got right in his face, pointed right at him, and said, you a-hole, you get them back on the phone and you tell them we will take every single one of them they can make. And Ron's like, I'm like, oh, Gene, okay. So he calls him back and he says, and of course, that was the number one selling item on that tour. We sold more of those than anything else.
That just cracks me up. That's a great story. Great story.
And then, also Kiss-related, and I'm hoping we've got time after the break. This may take after the break. But my first experience with Kiss was down in Oakland on the Destroyer Tour. Bob Seger opened for them. I got a Kiss Destroyer long sleeve baseball style t-shirt. So what that means, it had the white on the front and the back, and the sleeves were black, and it had the Destroyer artwork on it. I wore that thing all the way through high school, because when I got that, I was like 12 years old. I wore that thing through high school until it was tattered rags. And I was telling Ron it was my most treasured possession that I ever got at a Kiss concert. He looked at me and said, "I have the silk screens for that in my house right now."
Like, did he make you one?
Kidding me.
Did he make you another one?
Nope.
Did he?
Huh?
Did he make you another one?
No, and here's what happened. I begged him to make me one. I kept begging him throughout the years working at KBOY, "Ron, please make me that Destroyer shirt." And he goes, "I made Gene and Paul a promise. I would keep the silk screens. I would only do it with their permission." And he said, "I'm not going to do it. I don't have their permission." And I was like, "You're killing me." He never would do it. He went to his grave never having done it.
Of course, I'd like to know what happened to those silk screens.
I would, too, because I guarantee you his family knows. But, yeah, those were property of Kiss. He wouldn't do a thing with them without Gene or Paul saying, "Yes, you can do that." The other thing that he did that I'm never going to forget, walking down the hall one day, I look in the studio, and he starts waving me in. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." I walk through the door of the KBOY studio, and the next thing I hear is Ron going, "Hey, Ronnie, I got a big fan of yours that wants to say hi."
Oh, I know who this is.
Ronnie James Dio. On the other end of the line. Mm-hmm. Ron and Ronnie James went back to when they were kids. He'd worked tours with Ronnie. So the next thing I know, I'm talking to Ronnie James Dio, and Ronnie's like, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm going, "Well, I'm a little shocked right now," to which both of them cracked up laughing, but it's like, I had a great 20-minute conversation with the Ronnie James Dio. I walked out of that studio like mind blown, because only Ron could have done that one.
And Ron was a charming guy. Now, I had talked about one of my favorite memories that he had told me about his time at CBS television, which still just cracks me up to this day. I loved it, in which, Charlie dies at the desk of CBS. He gets hired in as a green new promo writer. And he didn't know how to write. And so his brother said, "Well, why don't you just go and go through Charlie's files and rework the Green Acres and the Beverly Hillbillies thing." And he's pulling this off for several weeks, or maybe it turned into months. I don't know. And so he gets called into the CBS vice president's office. And Ron figured that they figured out that he was a fraud, that he didn't know what he was doing. Yeah. Right. And they said, "Ron, we love you here at CBS. It's like Charlie never left." I just thought that was Ron. He was a fake it till you make it kind of guy. Something else I loved about Ron, too, and it caused me trouble as a morning co-host with him, is that he had no filter. And we didn't have a delay of any sort like what I work with now. And there was one morning that I just opened up the microphone. It was Monday. And I said, "Ron, how you doing this morning?" And Ron said, "I feel like," and then drops an S-bomb, essentially.
Yeah.
What it is. And I said, "Oh, okay, thanks for joining the show." And then, moving on. Here's Led Zeppelin or something on KBOY at the time. But he was very interesting in that way. By the way, he's the one that came up with the KBOY weather rock back in the early 90s. Do you remember that?
Yep, sure do. And when he found out how interested I was in weather, he was very proud to tell me that the KBOY weather rock was his creation.
And for those that didn't know, I had to make sure people know about this. This was a big, big lava ball that we ended up purchasing. I was a program director of the station in those days. And a big lava ball with a chain on top of it. And it was our meteorologist, so to speak, because if the weather rock was dry and hot, well, it was a hot, dry day in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it was out in front of the studio on Jacksonville Highway. And if the weather rock was wet, well, then we knew rain was coming there. If it was going back and forth, it was either wind or an earthquake, right? I think that was how we did that.
Who decided to put "if weather rock is gone, tornado"?
I forget
that. That was on there.
Yeah. I forget that one. That part escapes me. Could have been Marty McGuire that came up with that one. Who knows?
It might have been, or And then, of course, and also another one who has passed, Chris Stoney. Chris was as into weather as I was. In fact, for a lot of years, Chris and I would get together and we would do our own forecast on the air on KBOY. Chris would voice it, but he and I would consult together and develop the forecast, pardon, that people were going to hear. The last story I want to tell about Ron, and this might have been my favorite because I knew the guys in the band involved. But I asked him one day, I said, hey, Ron, was there ever a band you really did not like being out on the road with? Without any hesitation, he looked right at me, and I could tell by the look on his face, he truly did not like them. Slayer.
Slayer.
So I knew the guys in Slayer from my time in California because when I was down in Sacramento, Slayer was developing just like Metallica was. I knew Kerry King. I knew Tom Amaya. I knew those guys. So then he said, you know, they were the raunchiest, most obnoxious band I have ever been around. He goes, and they would pull pranks. And he goes, and not fun pranks, stupid, mean, little kid crappy stuff. So he goes, one night in Cleveland, it's hot as it could be. I'm in there and I'm counting up revenue from merchandise sales. This guy comes around and they start handing out Hershey bars. So he goes, so I grab a couple of those things. I stuff them in my shirt pocket. I forget they're there. I keep doing what I'm doing. Then I go into the bathroom and he goes, while I'm in the bathroom, I hear the guys in Slayer come in the back room and he goes, and those guys are being typically what they were, and he goes, and I'm looking in the mirror myself, and I'm just, oh man, I can't stand these guys. Now I got to be around these. And he goes, and then I saw the Hershey bars in my shirt pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, all right, I'm going to get these guys. He takes the Hershey bars out. He smears chocolate all over his right hand. He goes out that bathroom door. The band, their road manager, everybody looks right at him, and he starts licking his fingers, and he goes, better not use this one. They ran out of toilet paper. The looks on their faces, he said, made it all worthwhile. He said, I got the last great prank in on those guys. He said, I thought their eyes were going to explode right out of their
head. You know, it cracks me, though, that you come up and say that there was a band that could out-childish Ron Matthews. Then, because I always thought of Ron as kind of having that sort of soul. That surprised me.
Yeah, and that
you know?
Was the funny part. And to be perfectly honest, I was living up in Bend when you guys became Meyer and Matthews, mm-hmm. but I was aware of you guys even up in Bend. So when I was down in Medford visiting the family, especially grandparents, I'd tune you guys in. And I'd be listening to you guys, and you were kind of the straight man, and
yeah.
Ron was just going off all over the place. And it was wild because you never knew it was riding the ragged edge of disaster. And I'd listen to you guys, and I'd go, huh, we're going to test that third rail of the FCC, are we, boys?
Yeah, but, you know, it was a little more open back in those days. This was prior to the Janet Jackson wardrobe,
right.
Man, in fact, you know, there was a lot more that we could get away with, and I got away with a lot more even when I ended up having my next morning partner that was Murphy,
you
well know.
You, mm-hmm. Your parodies were top shelf. I loved listening to your parodies, but it was Ron, and you had that sense of hanging on to hear what Ron might say next. But, you know, that was the impression I had of both of you. And then working with both of you, Ron, of course, kind of lived up to the stereotype. Because once the mic was off, you really got Ron unfiltered. That guy, he could amaze me with his stories. He could make me laugh like no other. I loved doing remotes with that guy because we both would feed off of each other. And it's like, what are we going to do in the next break? Oh, all right, let's do this. But when you started doing this, honestly, when I heard you were going to be doing topical news talk radio,
uh-huh.
in the back of my mind, I'm like, geez, I don't know how this is going to go because all the exposure I had with you and Ron, and then, buddy, hey, you knocked it out of the park, but I treasure the fact that, A, I got to work with you, but especially the fact I got to work with Ron and I got to experience Ron off the air.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about that.
I'll tell you what, that guy, he was truly amazing. He was such a pro. I learned a lot from him. And who else in this world could have put me on the phone with Ronnie James Dio but Ron? Ron Boutwell, Ron Matthews, however you know him, I'm going to love that guy till the day I die. My only regret is he wouldn't make that Destroyer T-shirt for me, but he was a man of his word. Even in that.
All right. Very good. Hey, Greg, I appreciate the take on that. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on it. I wanted to make sure that it didn't go unnoticed here, because even his obituary didn't really mention any of the of what we knew him from. And so thanks. And we'll talk to you next Friday. OK, you be well.
You got it. All right. Have a good one.
Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Okay, Outdoor Report, by the way, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. Ran a little long, 20 before 8. We got open phone time. We'll do some other things, help some local businesses here. And then taking your calls at 770-5633 for Friday morning on The Bill Meyer Show.
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point.
If you're considering a new garage door or opener for a new home or remodel, you can't go wrong with American Industrial Door. With their fleet of trucks and technicians in both Josephine and Jackson counties, they can come to you and provide recommendations and samples. Or you can stop by their showroom and explore all of the amazing options. Do what so many other Southern Oregon homeowners have done for nearly 40 years. Trust American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company provides water to Rogue Valley homes from field to faucet, including water filtration systems and service. Siskiyou Pump offers a free water test for hardness, iron, pH, and conductivity, and will offer a free no-obligation estimate on service or a new state-of-the-art filtration system if desired. We've been producing the most essential ingredient to your home for over 50 years, fresh, clean water. So if you have concerns about your water, call for your free water test and no-obligation quote. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
When one kid gets a treat,
yay!
The other kid feels left out.
Hey!
That's why we're holding two grand openings at four Gerson's locations. Technically, it's the grand opening for both Gerson's Outlet and Gerson's Express.
But that's unfair to our home and sleep customers.
So we're offering 4 years interest-free financing OAC and 15% off at all four locations. Or pay in full and save 30%.
At Garrison's Home,
Express,
Outlet,
and Sleep.
Garrison's.com.
Get ready for the season at Grange Co-op's Fall Roundup Sale, happening September 4th through the 15th. Save big with 20% off all footwear and 25% off durable work pants. Perfect for those chilly fall days. Plus, when you stock up on Golden Fire pellets, you'll earn a gift card. The more you buy, the more you get. Don't miss these limited time offers at Grange Co-op, achieving more together. Learn more at GrangeCoop.com.
You're hearing The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
And this portion of the program is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repairs and replacements. So you go to MillettConstruction.com. Find out more about that. Good people. 743, it's just open phones, and we'll just kind of meander around because, I don't know, after all the conversation with Rick on the election, I don't know if I want to focus on that. It's going to be what it's going to be, even though we got, 43 days or so to go. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Todd, Central Point.
Hey, Todd, what's going on in your world today, huh?
Let's meander from politics. So Greg was talking about an Outdoor Report. I want to give a quick one. Last week, I went out to Crater Lake, and they're going to be closing down the boat tours. Sunday's the last one for about 2 years.
Because
they have to redo that trail, which was built in the 30s. It's falling apart, and that's the only access down to the water. So if anybody wants to get out this weekend, just be mindful that it's about a mile and a 700-foot drop in elevation. And of course, it's going up. That's the hard part.
Yeah, but still, that's relatively steep going down, too, really.
Yeah, I'd just be, you know, wear proper shoes. But I've been to the lake many times, but I did a boat tour last week. Well, one was smoked out, but they rescheduled it. If in 2 years people even remember, go and check it out. It has such a different perspective from down at the water level. It is absolutely an amazing place. And the water, you're allowed to swim in it under certain conditions. It's distilled water. It has no minerals in it. It is so deep blue. It's amazing. So if somebody is physically able to go down there, great. Take advantage of it before they start closing stuff down. And I just want to make a quick mention. Wednesday night was the last Brit Festival of official stuff this year. And the Chris Isaak show was fantastic. And I guess he only lives over here in Grants Pass. So if he reschedules for next year, I highly recommend it. Such a positive, upbeat show. It was so much fun.
Of all the people I've seen, and I've seen Chris Isaak at Brit three times. So I didn't go this year because, well, you know, been busy doing other things. And normally a Wednesday night show is a tough one for me to get to because it's a school night for me because of my job schedule. And he is the full package. He really is. I mean, he does it all. Writes great songs. Amazing singer. And I have to tell you, Todd, every time he does that falsetto, like on Wicked Game or Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing, and all these other great songs that he has written and performed over the years, you're always wondering, is he going to hit it? Is he going to hit it? Is he going to hit it? Because he's not a young man, right? You know, he's been doing this for a long time. He nails it every time, you know?
Yeah, he's a couple years older than us, but he's in good shape. And he actually did a few seconds of a Willie Nelson impression. It was so cute. It was so awesome.
He's funny.
He is very personable. So that was great. And next week I'm going to call up with a depressing story about the Vagos motorcycle gang that came through town a couple weeks ago. So let's end on a high note, though. Go to Crater Lake. Next year, book Chris Isaak if he comes back. Have a great weekend.
Now, by the way, you said he lives in Grants Pass?
That's what I heard from people in the audience. So, you know, take it for what it's worth.
Okay, well, if so, I want to get him on the show on a regular basis because, as far as I'm concerned, he is one of, you know, these are my two top favorite artists that I ever saw at Brit. One of them was, and of course, it's not going to happen anymore because he passed away a few months ago, Ramsey Lewis. The Ramsey Lewis trio came, yes, and it was one of the best shows I ever saw at Brit, and it was criminally under-attended at that time because it was early in the season. But my number one all-time Brit guy is Chris Isaak. It's always a great show. Always a great
show. Well, you know, he and Michael Frante are about the only guys I know that will actually take their instruments and actually go through the audience and mix it up with the audience. That's really great.
Yeah. Glad to hear it. Thanks, Todd. Great hearing from you. It's 7:47. Let's move along here. Next line. I don't know who's here. I haven't cleared any calls. We're just taking them as they come. Who's this?
Bill, is it me?
Yes, it is.
Hey, it's Matt.
Matt, how you doing?
I feel bad now because, you know, you got someone calling to leave it on a high note. But
okay,
hey,
I'll tell you what. Why don't you hang on just a second because you and I usually sometimes expound. Can you hang on just a moment?
Sure.
Okay, I'll be right with you, okay? Let me go to line three because maybe someone else has something else I wanted to make sure and squeeze you in. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. It's Rat Rod Ricky.
Rat Rod Ricky. All right. I knew we were going to hear something about the Rat Rod. Tell us what the Rat Rod Ruckus is all about with Rat Rod Ricky.
The Rat Rod Ruckus there on Saturday?
Yep. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not, but tell me what's happening there, okay?
Okay, well, we'll give you a pass on that. So anyway, the Rat Rod Ruckus, you know, all our proceeds are going to benefit the Operation Rambo, which is for the service dogs for the American veterans, right?
Oh, so you mean this is a benefit for real service dogs rather than the support ferrets that you see on United Airlines and Delta, right?
Yeah, I just don't see a Yorkie as a service dog. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, at 8 o'clock, you know, the gates open, and we're a family-friendly little event here, and we're trying to make it affordable. So admission's only $5 for the spectators, and kids under 12 are free. So then at 9 o'clock, we got the live music by the Wendy Sue Band, and then we got a bounce house for the kids. We got, Bill, you're going to love what happens at 1 o'clock. But before that, I'll tell you about at noon, we're going to do the all-out engine rev. And then after noon, when we do the engine rev, then the music gets started by Jet Harris and the Hot Rod Hillcats. And then at 1 o'clock, Bill, it's the pin-up contest, okay? So you get your lady out there. Get Linda out there, Bill.
Okay.
You know, get her dolled up in the 1940s outfit.
Get her dolled up like a World War II. All right. So
there you go. And then at 2:30 is the annual beard and mustache contest. And then at 3 o'clock, we give out the trophies. It's going to be a great time, Bill. I hope to see you there.
All right. So Rat Rod Ricky from the Rat Rod Ruckus, which is Saturday tomorrow. That's 8 o'clock is when it starts. And this is at Pottsville, right? Pottsville out of Maryland, right?
Tomorrow at Pottsville, and my friends call me Ricky the Rat.
All right. Ricky the Rat. Thank you, Ricky the Rat, and for being informative this morning. I love that. I love that. Rat Rods. A lot of fun. And like Bob Shan was talking about, the Rat Rods really were starting off as the anti-car show with a lot of creativity going on in there. All right. Hey, Matt, can you hang on through the break here just one more time?
I'll get you.
Just having fun this morning here on the Bill Myers Show, whatever's on your mind. Positive, negative, somewhere in between.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running. Jasper's has been a local tradition for over 40 years. Come in and see for yourself why we've been recognized nationally for our amazing burgers featuring outrageous toppings and a delicious range of meats from local grass-fed beef to elk to bison and more. We're just 1 mile up North Pacific Highway from the mall, or check out our menu at jasperscafe.com. Jasper's, burgers with attitude.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Our Castle Trailers, where the customers came.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Lithia Body and Paint knows that the dent in your car is bugging you. Here's some good news. You may have a ding or dent that's quick and affordable to fix. Lithia has special tools to carefully pop out dents and dings in your car, often without damaging the paint. From major collision repair to small dings from a baseball, shopping cart, or mailbox, bring it by Lithia Body and Paint and we'll let you know what it's going to take to fix it. You may be pleasantly surprised. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I've got a heaping helping of special offers on new Fords this month. And, well, here are a couple of my favorites. Drive a brand new Ford F-150 for only $385 a month after Ford's trading assistance rebate. It's a 36-month lease, which means you get to drive a new truck for 3 years at $385 a month, then come back and trade it in on a new one. And if you want to escape high payments on an SUV, buy a new Ford Escape and get low 2.9% financing for 72 months, plus an extra $500 of Ford customer cash along with that 2.9% financing. When you think Ford, I want you to think Butler Ford. And come see me down in Ashland, because no one knows how to make a better deal on a new Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV than me. That's probably why Butler Ford is the highest Google-rated Ford dealership in Oregon. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, and certified pre-owned.
There's 6 month lease to qualifying traded customers with $6,252 assigned, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on stock number 59607, and selling price of $56.73 after rebates and discounts. 72 monthly payments, $15.50 per thousand financed. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for details.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service, and I'm on KMED.
753, Dad Joke Friday. Let's do that. Dad Joke of the Day. How do you make seven even? You take out the S. There you go. Dad Joke of the Day, of course, sponsored by our friends at Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Now, if you think you can do that joke better, go ahead and submit it. Go to twodogsfab.com, email it to them. Maybe you'll hear it on my show at some time. I know that a gentleman from Rogue River has been sending in the bulk of them, but maybe you can polish up a dad joke or two, okay? By the way, Two Dogs Fab, we're in the closeout time. The season closeout time on the Iron Bull trailers and so much more. They got rebates available. Find out more. Trailer Sales, Delco, and Iron Bull. They are everything trailer. And they also do any kind of hitch or tongue repair, metal fabrication, so much more. TwoDogsFab.com. All right, Matt, you've been holding on for a long, long time. How are you doing this morning? And
I'm good.
Let's get to where you were going, huh?
Okay, well, the first thing I wanted to bring up, I guess, is, and this is, I'm just going to ask you the question.
Sure.
How much TV, I don't know how much TV you watch, but if you do watch TV, how much of it do you actually watch live? Like, which shows would you say, oh, I got to watch that live?
You know, I do my best to watch the news. I'll go between KLBI or KDRB. I know they're being recorded in the DVR if I miss that, but I try to hit them only because it's a good time of day for me, you know, the 5 or 6 o'clock report type things, just to see what they're up to. But
right.
Other than that, I don't hit a whole lot of them live these days. What about you?
Nothing. I'll have like the news running in the background during my work day.
Yeah.
Just to, if I hear anything that catches, you know, my interest, then I can, you know, go in the other room and hear the whole story. I can rewind if I want. The only thing, I don't even watch sports live anymore. And what that brings me to is how effective during an election, how effective are different means of moving voters are there? Now, I know that making phone calls to people's houses can have some kind of an effect. Postcards can have some kind of an effect. I know, you know, lately you've been hearing how much Kamala Harris has been raising, you know, $47 million right after the debate. But I just wonder how they're employing that money, because I started talking to a few people here a couple of days ago after the debate, and I said, well, what do you watch live? So sports was a big one. I mean, I don't even watch sports live because I watch a lot of basketball during the season, so – whether it's college or pro ball, I just found.
So, okay, I to kind of get to the skip to the chase point here, I think I know where you're going. I think this has to do with how many people are actually seeing these very expensive political ads, right?
I think almost no one. So what was the point of the debate? To me, the point of the debate, and I said this the other day, was just to grab clips that they could put on social media.
Uh-huh.
Where people are going to see that way more than they're going to see the debate, way more than they'll see commercials that might have clips from the debate. I think it was – so I think going forward, because I thought, well, you know, Trump, why not do the second debate? What have you got to lose? Just tell her, hey, it's Fox or nothing or somebody or nothing. Yeah, I'd like to see Joe Rogan moderate a debate. I think that would be hilarious. But now I get it. I think in his mind, because he understands entertainment, I don't, that he would say, no, I'm not gonna do that second debate, because all it's gonna do is it's gonna give you clips that you can use to sort of introduce yourself on a continual basis.
And well, that's just it. The this debate actually benefited Kamala. The debates are benefiting Kamala more, only because of the fact that, and like Rick was talking about, she's being sold as a new candidate, and frankly, she's been in the basement. They've kept her in the basement doing the Biden strategy here for quite some time. And so now you got 40, 50 days to make an impression. In fact, early voting already starting in some places.
Did you watch any of the post-debate? You know, they have these undecided. I don't know where they get an undecided person. It's like finding a new
I don't know. How can you be that dim to be an undecided at this point? The choices seem pretty clear to me. But, you know, there are a lot of people who don't pay attention. But, no, I was so disgusted and depressed at the end of that, I just went to bed, and then I didn't go to sleep. But no, I didn't watch the
post-debate. I heard you mention that to Rick, and he had the same problem. It bothers me when you have a team, even if they win, their win can still feel like a loss. It's almost like, you know, you got by in the skin on your teeth. And I'm almost wondering if that's what's happened here with that first debate for Trump, and that if they're pulling clips for her, the worst clips against Trump are going to be him talking about people eating dogs and cats.
Right.
But which clips do you pull from the things she said and put them on social media that moves the phantom undecided voter? I mean, I'm thinking through it. I've seen enough of the clips now. There isn't anything.
No. She gave the Trump campaign really nothing, because she didn't answer honestly or answer a lot of things that would actually help.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but I'm also saying she didn't have any clips that could move people in between towards her.
No.
Because she didn't divulge anything. If you're really undecided, I want to believe, and I'm probably wrong,
I want to believe that people who are undecided are people who not always are deep thinker. They're people who come to it at the last minute. They're procrastinators. That's how I see them mostly. But they come to this and they say, okay, I'm looking for something that can move me one direction or the other. And if they watch the debate again days later, because they put it on the DVR, and they're watching it and they're saying to themselves, she didn't say anything. We don't know what her economic plan is. We don't know what she's going to do about the border. All we can do is look at what has happened. So anyway, that was my commentary. I'm not sure the debate did as much damage as they had hoped, because I'm not sure that there were some great clips in there that people who are undecided are going to see. And say,
when
oh,
you
God.
Say you're hoping that, or you don't think that there was as much damage on Kamala or as much damage on Trump.
I don't think there was as much damage on Trump.
Okay, that's where I was going. Okay, I agree with you on that, because, and this was what Rick and I were talking about. I think, honestly, for the flaws that Don did with his delivery, the bloviating, the focusing on me, and the size of crowds that nobody gives a crap about, you know, except his the narcissistic side. And you have to have some narcissism if you're going to be a politician. That's just the way it goes. But, you know, the thing is, he still comes off as a real guy. He still comes off realistically or authentically because, you know, AI is not going to program someone to sound like Trump. You got to figure that, right?
Yeah. And the fact is, I know more people who talk and act like Trump. And look, I'm 61 years old, so I know more people like him. I don't know that I've ever met. I used to travel around the country and do seminars and stuff. I don't know that I've ever met anyone like her, ever. I don't think that I ever have, because, quite frankly, I don't know any. I will say Pete DeFazio, thank goodness, is no longer. He's retired, but I'm no longer in that district. But he was more of a regular guy. He talked more like Trump.
Yeah. Well, here, you want to know who people. I have met people like Kamala. But they weren't elected. They were not people who were elected. They were people who I would find within the administrations, the administrative states sort of things. You know, the people who were not elected, people who were appointed, the people who actually held politicians in contempt, people who work behind the scenes, the ones that say, you know, I'm going to be here long after this politician is gone. But, you know, because there's a certain tone or a speech pattern of the bureaucratic, kind of like the, you know, the planners, you know what I mean? You know, the civic planners, those sort of things in which, it's time to take some public input, all right? And public input is when we have the transportation alternatives, and you put your sticker on it, and then we choose how many stickers are going in this one particular thing. And then I would ask the planner, where is the option to not do anything that you're trying to do right now? Well, that's never part of it, right? It's always it's that kind of childish leading you along kind of speech pattern.
I'm going to bring this super local. You had Herman on here a couple of weeks ago. I was at that meeting where the county commissioners were each going to have an opportunity to chime in on that fire map. Mm-hmm. And this is the point that Herman made. He said, what do you know about fighting fires? Oh, well, see, we have this whole crew. What's the difference between that and what's going on with the presidential election? Nobody's electing Kamala. If she gets elected, God forbid, but if she gets elected, it won't be her they're electing. They're electing the people that are sprinkled throughout the administrative state that you're talking about. And that's who these people are working on this fire map.
And that's what I term the blob. Whether it's the DC blob or the Oregon blob, the gangrene blob, it's all kind of part of that same sort of thing. The language of bureaucrats, where they talk about stakeholders and consensus and finding our various partners together. You know the tone, right? You understand who I'm speaking about.
And I do.
And our models. And we have to professionalize government. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
The technocrats.
You're triggering me.
I know. Thank you, Matt. Got a roll,
well,
Ben.
One more thing. Will you post the link to that article from Science?
Yes.
On your social media, because people need to see it. And I would love it if you could just mention it, because we didn't get to it. If you could just mention it on air, it's really interesting of where AI could take us.
Yeah. And by the way, I think it was Oprah Winfrey, who came. I saved this story from. Oh yes, Oprah Winfrey. Oprah says people should have reverence for artificial intelligence. Reverence, in other words, the new Democrat God, huh?
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much, Matt. Always good talking with you. 5 minutes after 8, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Translator K290AF, Rogue River, is trying to remember the city of license, and K294AS Ashland also, all right? The article that Matt sent me, which is absolutely fascinating, it is an article in Science, science.org. It's a research paper, where it's an article about durably reducing conspiracy beliefs through dialogues with AI. Beliefs in conspiracies that a U.S. election was stolen incited an attempted insurrection January 6th of 2021. Another conspiracy alleging that Germany's COVID-19 restrictions were motivated by nefarious intentions sparked violent protests at Berlin's Reichstag Parliament building. Amid growing threats to democracy, Costello and others investigated whether dialogues with a generative artificial intelligence interface could convince people to abandon their conspiratorial beliefs. Human participants described a conspiracy theory that they subscribed to, and the AI then engaged in persuasive arguments with them that refuted their beliefs with evidence. Oh, yeah, the evidence from the same people that said safe and effective, right? Yeah. And remember, though, Oprah says that we should have reverence for these controllers. But it's an interesting article. I'm going to have to read this whole thing. But it's chilling in its implication, huh? 6 minutes after 8, we'll catch up on Town Hall News, not generated by AI, at least not yet. And Commissioner Colleen Roberts joining me in studio. We'll talk about some real-life human interface commentary needed on a bunch of issues involving, gosh, whether it's the fire and the wood fire or the fire map and everything else. We'll talk about it all coming up.